Arcadia Podcast. This is Megan Spur.
John Spangler.
Charles Spur.
I guess we're moving to Warcraft first.
Sure, why the hell not?
So what is or isn't a bug in World of Warcraft Classic? Tauren's hitboxes and their melee reach being slightly larger than other races.
Okay. Gotta roll back a little bit farther than that, John. So we're talking about this before we turn the mic on. World of Warcraft is releasing... What is the release date? I have that handy on here that I was not actually...
August 24th?
August 13th?
13th.
Yeah.
Oh, my birthday.
Oh, hey, everybody should know that the when your birthday is.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to bleep that out.
No.
So, World of Warcraft, you will be able to play... So, it is... Vanilla WoW, but it's very specific. It's a very specific version of Vanilla WoW. So it is patch 1.12. This is before a lot of shit has changed over the past. How many years are we looking at for WoW now?
Oh my god. 2005 was the beta, right?
I thought it was four.
2004 was the beta?
Yeah. So, you know, 15 years later.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Like, shit's changed, yo.
A lot.
Well, so, yeah, I mean, there was never a World of Warcraft 2 because they have reinvented the game once every 3 years.
Yeah, so there's been, yes.
So I'm seeing August 27th.
I might be looking at an old doc. It's possible that that's updated. So,
sorry, John, fuck your birthday.
Oh.
We'll have the corrected date in the show notes for you. but yeah, so there's a lot of different things that I guess... People who have been playing over the years may, like, find endearing to go back to an old version. People who are just coming in might wonder what in the heck is going on. So...
What are these talent trees? Like, why are any exactly. of these things real?
Creature respawn rates are much slower than in Battle for Azeroth.
Oh, God, yes. They were so slow.
and specifically, they picked a particular... Sorry if you mentioned this. They picked a particular patch... To go to, like,
right.
back in the day. And they are, and I find this really, really admirable, they are replicating the game as close as possible. Which was, of course, the bulleted list I was originally reading from. Hey, what seems like it's wrong, but is totally what they intend to make, because that's how it was back in the day.
So, a couple of different ones. On level up, the message, your skill in protection increased to 15, was added in 1.12.1, and we're intending to keep that. Also, NPCs which offer multiple quests may inconsistently display them as a dot or an exclamation point on the available quest list.
God.
They were inconsistent in 1.12, and we've produced that exact inconsistency they had back then.
Can we stop giving Blizzard money? They're paying people to, like, accurately replicate these bugs.
Yep.
And all the stuff that got patched out later? Not patched out now.
Oh my god.
Right?
It's back.
Fucking crazy is that? You know, it's weird because I've kind of waxed poetically about playing games from your childhood of the way that you remember it versus the way that it actually was.
Oh, yeah, like that Sierra game that you played.
Oh, yeah, with Gabriel Knight, man.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
wacky recreation of a... What a terrible game. And I mm-hmm. absolutely love it. But... Going back and playing the original game versus a remaster of it, it's so different. And I just, it's so weird that not only are they remastering something, right? So there's an art style, there's a lore, there is
yeah.
a land, like all of this shit just got, I mean, as you said, like they recreated it every 3 years. Like so
mm-hmm.
many things changed.
Wait, so for clarification, because this wasn't 100%. Obvious to me. Are they using the new assets for these for this content?
No, oh, I don't know.
Like,
as
are
opposed to just like
yeah, as opposed to rolling out the
a server that's
the fugly humans running around with their like gigundo gorilla hands.
I really
no, they are not. Their whole thing is World of Warcraft Classic is a faithful recreation of the original World of Warcraft. It runs a bit smoother on today's computers, but the game still looks and feels the way like you're playing World of Warcraft. From 2006.
Good lord. Okay.
Combat mechanics, original character models, and skill trees all contribute to a truly authentic experience.
While dungeons, raids, and PvP features will gradually roll out like
yes.
they did during WoW's initial release.
And that was my thing that I brought up earlier.
Equipment and abilities won't constantly change to reflect the minor adjustments that Blizzard made with each patch.
Yeah, so they have phases for the content coming out. For example, the launch that... the launch of Classic is just going to have Molten Core, Onyxia, and Maradon.
Oh, okay.
And they're going to then go Phase 2, Dire Maul, Azeragus, and Kazik. I don't recognize all of these. And then eventually going all the way to Noxoramus and the Scourge Invasion. Like, and sweet. They, and this is what they have confirmed. Who knows how far they're going to go. And then also,
good luck to the people who try to play that, because it was real fucking hard to beat when it first came out, which is why they got rid of it.
Yep, and they're also doing the rollout of PvP content. Like in the vanilla launch of Classic, there will be no rewards or stat tracking. It is just open world PvP.
Yes.
And then the honor system comes in eventually, Alteric Valley, blah, 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 blah.
Right, yes. When they eventually brought in the PvP areas.
Yes.
The battlegrounds.
Yeah, no, it's going to be fucking wild. Like, it's, I never was deep into Warcraft. I was surrounded by people that were, though. In high school, I was a junior in high school when the beta came out.
Shut up.
I know, sorry. And I had a whole bunch of friends that spent a lot of time on it because they didn't have anything else to do. And then I moved to Seattle, and a big part of my friend group were like WoW players together. And so I had like 4 or 5 years of it being a meaningful part of my life, basically through the Scourge, actually. And then it fell off, but I have fond memories of being adjacent to Warcraft. I really do.
So what you have to do is get an account. We'll just go ahead and run through that. We'll hang out in the Barrens for hours making Chuck Norris jokes.
No.
And,
oh my god.
No, I can't. I cannot nope more at you than I can. I'm thinking so hard right now.
I can't nope harder than Barrens chat.
Are people going to have the mods that basically were required to make that game usable?
I actually don't have any doubt that, like, well, no, things like, I don't know, man. Yeah, you might have to go back and install old mods.
Raids were terrible without rage management mods.
Yeah.
And then having to have, like, aggro mods.
Yep.
Like, yeah.
I remember seeing the DIY Lua shit that people were putting together that, like, my friend's roommate made to, like, be the raid leader where you could see all the stats of everybody and have automated macros for, like, the Onyxia fight and shit. Like, it was a hobby. Like, it was what people did.
It was a hobby. It was another job.
I ruled the market on those Greater Cursed stats. And then I went too hard and people started jumping in and tanked the market. Which is right at the time that you told me to stop working a second job for $10 a month. Lose negative $10 a month.
Right.
But no, you're right. That is basically, I don't know, you're still hanging out with your buddies, but it is a lot of work.
Also, 40-person raids were a giant fucking mess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Human beings don't function in groups like that.
Oh, fuck. We gotta go back to the Alliance not having shamans and the Horde not having paladins.
Yep.
No, we don't have to go back to that. We don't have to do anything. Just because this is coming out doesn't mean you have to play it.
I don't know. No, so,
no, I do know. I do know. I'm very, very sure of this fact.
No, I think a lot of the idiosyncrasies are going to be fun for people. I think ultimately people will get sick of all of those quote-unquote features, just like they did back in the day. Really, they're just making a server for the hardcore 300 guilds that exist in the world that want to go back to those old days and run through those content.
You don't think you're going to get people that dropped off over the years and, like, they've heard about Warcraft, all these changes, but and then you don't think that they'd be like, man, I want to go back and see what it's like
My guess would be the people that really, really stick with it. No, I absolutely agree. There's going to be people that are curious. There's going to be people that just want to go back and laugh at it. And it's worth 15 of their dollars to go back and laugh at it, right? Yeah. Because I'm sure it's going to be still in the free-to-play model. You just download it and you pay for the subscription past level 20 or whatever.
Yeah, I have no idea how that's going to work. Man, I would love to just be able to listen in on people who have not played it originally, right?
Yeah.
Like, who came in much later when they have to walk everywhere until level 40.
Yeah.
I thought you got a mount before that.
Nope. Level 40 was when you got the low-end mounts.
And man, the fast travel nodes were far apart.
Yeah.
Like, weren't fast travel. Well, yeah, the griffins and stuff. Yeah, the griffins and stuff.
But it was so bad that you
would pay mages to teleport you places.
Yep. No, I think, and specifically for that, like there's going to be people that are curious about it and they wash out because it's objectively worse. It's objectively worse. It's a worse game.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of people that want to go back for the lulls, but I think the people that are really going to stick to it and play through phase 1 through 6 going through the Scourge are guilds. Yeah. I think they're guilds that want to raid the old content because they miss the achievement because they're crazy of going through a 40-man raid or whatever.
Well, you know what? More for them.
Yeah. No,
I'm happy
it's happening. It's really actually very cool that Blizzard's going through with it. I also like the fact that they're actually putting their money where their mouth is when it comes to, like, shutting down those Warcraft Classic servers that were running the old game, like, underground pirate servers, and they gave them a cease and desist. Like, of course they have to send them a cease and desist. Like, I get that. But they could also just turn a blind eye, but they did that, and then they actually came out with Classic. That's cool.
Yeah. Okay, so a game that we might actually play, because I'm hoping, I say that questionably, because I'm really hoping that we're not playing Vanilla WoW.
I mean, if I didn't play it when I had nothing to do at 17, I'm not playing it now, when I have nothing to do at 32.
So, the video game for Blair Witch Project.
Yeah.
So, Blair Witch Project is coming out at the end of August.
Wow, that's soon.
Yeah.
Speaking of something 20 years old.
Yeah.
Shut up, Charles.
I hate both of you. You're both making me feel ancient.
Yeah.
So, I think we watched the trailer for this around E3.
Yeah, it was part of the Xbox E3 presentation.
It was cool. It was a cool trailer. It was exciting-ish.
So, it definitely plays into that, you know, first-person perspective, craziest shit in the woods. It makes me think of Plague Tale, something that is visually pretty and is going to scare the shit out of me.
Yeah, it looks real disorienting and spooky, sure.
Yeah, it looks like a game that I would like Charles to play so I can sit back and watch part of it.
Yeah, it seems very... it's the first game, and not that I'm really plugged into, like, survival horror games or anything, but, like, it seems like the first game to actually take the latest Resident Evil kind of, like, perspective and run with it in a different direction.
Okay, so I didn't play the latest Resident Evil. I don't play Resident Evil games. I feel like why I should put a qualifier in, like, the latest. None of them. But when you're talking about the latest one, are you talking about the VR experience? Or are you talking about...
Biohazard, right?
Yeah, Biohazard.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that what it's called?
Or... Yeah, Resident Evil 7 is Biohazard.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. That one. And also, that is the game that was both VR and not VR, if you want.
Yeah. I was just trying to make sure I understood.
No, it was very claustrophobic environments, spooky first-person experiences, really confrontational up front, like, human contact with, like, zombie hillbillies. And Resident Evil seems the same way. Like, oppressively shitty woods, things chasing you.
Blair Witch. Yeah.
Blair Witch, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. I don't know. I am very interested to see what this game does, because from what I've seen, the production values look really nice.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a departure from, you know, Blair Witch Project. but...
Yeah, but that was its whole shtick, right? Like, it was...
Authentic.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's handheld camera, shaky cam, like, pioneering shaky cam as a way to film things.
Yeah. So, I don't know. This is one that's upcoming. I'm very curious. I thought I would throw this out there. What do you guys think?
I really like the new, like, spooky games have been stuck in a formula between two extremes for quite a few years now. I'm going to say, like, since YouTube streaming, a horror game has been, like, a real motivator of fucking sales. There's the Five Nights at Freddy's puzzle horror game that gets extremely hard. And then there's the jump scare...
Outlast?
Outlast is exactly the game I was thinking of. Outlast 1 and 2. And extreme jump scare, super gore, like, gross slasher flick shit.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Resident Evil Biohazard doesn't seem like that. It was not that game. It had a lot of atmosphere and gave you a lot of time to, like, walk around and explore things. And I'm excited to see that strong of a contender in the horror game market make a new branch of game. And it seems like that's happening because of the Blair Witch. A more atmospheric first person, maybe take your time, really soak it in, and then shit hits the fan, as opposed to just being a cheap horror movie ride.
Yeah, because I'll say that I made a early on comparison to Plague Tale. I don't think that Plague Tale is a horror game. It's scary. It's dark, but it's a fantasy. It's
an atmospheric action adventure game. It's not.
Sure.
Yeah, it's not horror, but I would absolutely call Blair Witch Project a horror. So.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm just putting that out there as a thought, because it is absolutely a game I will not play.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of those where I could maybe play the very beginning up until I find out what happens to the dog.
Sure.
Maybe that's one of those where I have to wait until the Twitter account of what? Oh gosh, we were just talking about this. I know there's the can you pet the dog, but there's also the does the dog live?
Oh, that's a handy.
Well, fucking Twitter yeah, account. I think exactly. Does the dog die? But
I mean,
so that site is. It is multimedia. When we had talked about it before, Hannah had mentioned she knew it was for movies and didn't know if it covered games. It does. It covers games. It covers TV, movies, all sorts of different media.
Good.
And it's not just for Does the Dog Die? It's actually a website for triggers.
Oh.
So you can pull up a specific thing and there's just a list of triggers.
Hmm.
And you can see if it's going to be a problematic game for you.
That's actually... Okay. Pretty rad, I would think. If you know
something, it's a little spoilery, but yes.
Sure, but if you are somebody that knows that you have a particular issue with yep. something, then how much better is that as to have a serve yourself resource?
Yeah, I'm like, for me personally, I know I don't like certain things, but I could probably deal with it if it was. And I don't say deal with it as a. As, like, a demeaning kind of thing.
Yeah,
but like,
not dismissive
like,
of people.
Yeah, yeah, but... I'm not dismissive, is right. Like, I just know I could process it. And I'm like, I don't think I need a site like that. But I'm glad it exists for people that might have some, like, legit trauma and they want to play a horror game and not know that it, and know that it doesn't have X, Y, and Z in it.
Right.
Yeah. I'm just thinking of people that are rape survivors, right? That people have gone yeah. through, like, animal abuse mm-hmm. and, like, all those things. I love the idea that there is a place where you can be like, does this exist in this media? Am I safe to go? I mean, I again, like you, John, I'm lucky enough to not look at media and necessarily have a panic attack around yeah. it or something like
yeah,
you know,
right.
have that reaction. But I can't imagine how not only you processing all of that, but now the shame and trauma of like having to back yourself out of a situation like a movie theater,
yeah.
of, like because I just can't handle this shit, right? Like that's so.
Yeah, and most of the time it's just like a yes no kind of thing on there,
yeah.
but people are allowed to add notes as
sure.
well to. Put qualifiers on, like, yes, this happens, but it, like, but it's off screen.
Mm-hmm.
It's just apparent, that sort of thing. So.
Yeah.
This is the kind of warning you give a girl, Josh, when you tell her to play a game and the dog dies in the first 8 minutes.
Which game was that?
Plague Tale.
Oh, gotcha.
First character that you have any sort of emotional attachment to.
How many trailers did you watch for that game that had a dog in it? Zero.
Don't care, John. What if you just walked away? Like, you left the dog behind and you can't, and it lived happily ever after.
Didn't become rat food?
Maybe. Yes. Absolutely. A zillion percent. I'm not giving away. First 8 minutes of the game, folks.
Yeah. No, and I think a big part of triggers like that, a big part of being self-aware enough about how you consume media that, like, say, animal abuse would trigger something, trigger fight or flight, make you relive something. It's not the fact that it happens or not, actually. It doesn't actually fucking matter. It's the fact that you're watching a movie with a cute animal in it. And now you're worried. So now you're just dealing with the trauma whether or not it happens. Like, you're just thinking about it and wondering. And I would even imagine, like, oh, if I went to doesthedogdie.org, Jesus, and I saw the dog dies, yes, but it's off camera, maybe that's good for someone. Maybe
yeah.
they can be like, cool, I can deal with that. Now I know. As opposed to, like, I am going to worry about this dog this whole movie. And not only that, I'm going to worry about this other thing that I'm going to relive.
Unrelated, what is the movie about the dog that just reincarnates itself?
All Dogs Go to Heaven.
No, there's this new movie coming out, and I don't remember what the name of it is.
It's
just the dog dying over and over again and coming back as different dogs to be this guy's best friend.
I didn't think Marley and Me could get worse.
Yeah, and then, you know, the dog takes care of Guy's daughter.
So it's a guardian angel story.
Yeah.
More or less, yeah.
Fuck that shit, no.
Right?
Ew.
I remember watching the trailer, I think it was like before one of the Marvel movies, and I was like, man, this is awful, because it's the same voice actor that's narrating for this dog, and I think it's Kevin Costner.
Wait, so the dog has a voice?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, because the dog's narrating, because it keeps coming back, and it's, you know, keeps finding him again to...
Yep, and you see...
That's a real upsetting concept.
Dude, even in the trailer, you see the dude getting older and older and older, and him being like, you gotta take care of my girl, and then you see, like, new dog that same narrator, and I was like, no, something happened to that dog. And you probably see, like, four different dogs just in the trailer. And I was like, oh,
so you're
hell.
Just going to continue to watch a dog get hit by a car. And Kevin Costner going, ah, fuck.
Oh, my God.
I wish I didn't feel that every time.
This movie seems
good
terrible.
Good Lord.
Anyways.
Fuck, thanks for the warning.
Yeah.
Stay the fuck away from that movie.
Does the dog die? A lot, yes. Over and over again.
This is the website homepage just has a picture of that movie as the banner on it. Jesus. That sounds disgusting.
Yeah, sadly, we will put the name of that movie into the show notes because I cannot remember off the top of my head. So, anyways.
And I don't want to, like, Google on the podcast. Like,
no, it's
dog dying movie.
Well, because you're just going to get Marley and Me.
Oh, my God. I watched that movie completely blind, hanging out with, like, some of my wife's friends, not knowing what it was. And they're like, oh, I like this movie. Do you want to watch it? And Amy and I are like, yeah, okay. And then we just cried for, like, 2 hours. And we're like, fuck you. That's not we just had dinner and you wanted to, like, suggest an activity for the evening. You put on Marley and Me? You're a sociopath.
Dude, I saw somebody watching it on a plane. Like, you don't
it's like
that.
If this plane goes down, I'm cool. This movie's sad as fuck.
No, that's a terrible plan.
Oh, my God.
I'm absolutely trying to figure out the name of this. It turns out there's multiple dog ones, because there's one called The Art of Racing in the Rain. I don't think that's it. I think it's a different dog movie of somebody. A Dog's Journey.
Seriously, that's what it's called? A Dog's Journey?
Yep.
But what's that movie about?
Oh, and I stand corrected, by the way. It is not Kevin Costner. It's Dennis Quaid. By the way, so I'm looking at the more like this list of movies that come from, you know, A Dog's Purpose. There's Baby Genius 3, Super Babies, Baby Geniuses Singular, Aliens
at Work.
I think
Ate My Homework. Aliens Ate My Homework.
Yeah, more Baby Geniuses.
Food Fight.
Yeah, this all seems terrible.
What's the last one? The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen?
The League of Legend Keepers Shadows. 8.8 out of 10. A horror film for children. Okay, I'm done with IMDb now. Anyways, so that is my recommendation of interesting game that you might want to look out for and a movie that you should absolutely not.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's enough for me. So, Charles, you were playing a video game.
I've been playing a couple video games already.
Oh, real quick, I guess, if we're going with games that we've been playing, I'm kicking off a couple of weeks, I believe, of playing with my online game group, Risk of Rain 2. And I'm super excited about it. It's an early access, but it's basically a complete polished game. They're just making, like, the last levels to it within the next couple of months. And it is $20. If you've ever played an action game that has a horde mode or a survival mode with, like, teamwork in it, and you've enjoyed that kind of gameplay, Risk of Rain 2 is basically the best modern expression of team survival with a bunch of goofy upgrades, and you find a broken combo that wrecks monsters, and your buddy can heal you infinitely, and you're just having a great time. And I can't wait. I can't wait to play it.
So what was the game that you were playing before? I vaguely remember you talking about zombie survival and...
So we were... I actually have a rented server space for 7 Days to Die, which is Minecraft plus zombies, like a legit zombie game. They're changing the game in a really weird way where it used to be very focused on the Minecraft, very focused on the crafting. Like, you would level up, you'd spend the experience points you get killing zombies to, like, unlock tech trees to build more stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, it was this nice loop. And now they're making, like, classes and, like, RPG-style skill points, and, like, you have stats, and you can, like, find guns with better random stats in the world, while also being Minecraft. It's not very good. Like, they're moving the game in a new direction, and my buddies and I have for months now, have played the same base, same survival, everything, and it's just not that great anymore. So we're looking for a more action-y, frantic game. And I suggested Risk of Rain, and I can't wait to play it.
So this is one where you're in a beta, or?
Oh yeah, it's early access. It's been out for a couple of months. Released early access for a couple of months. So the basic gist of Risk of Rain 2 is it's a over-the-shoulder, third-person pew-pew game. where you have monsters endlessly spawn, and when you kill monsters and explore the map, you get upgrades, and you get tons and tons and tons of upgrades. Each upgrade is like an item that, like, you add crit chance, or you might shoot a missile when you fire, or you run faster, blah, 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 blah. And they go from pretty mundane to game-breaking. And the whole game is that the difficulty level in the game goes up by a function of time. You actually see the difficulty meter in the top right corner of the screen go up constantly as you're playing. You will die eventually. The goal of the game is to get as far as possible. However, on each map, you can summon the boss of the map whenever you want, as long as you find the teleporter to get out. You activate the teleporter and a big boss shows up. When you teleport, when you beat that boss and teleport to the next level, all of the enemies drop more money and the item drops are better. So basically the difficulty goes up by time, but your rewards only go up by advancing the game stages. So you're constantly getting weaker in the game because the difficulty of the game is going up, 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 up. So you need to try to push your luck and progress through the levels, summon the bosses as soon as you feel even the slightly bit confident that you can kill them.
Yeah, so
and
I mean,
keep pushing as hard as possible so that your reward level, the level of the items you're getting, the money you're getting, can hopefully keep up with the rising difficulty level as long as possible.
So it seems to me then, like, you want to summon the boss as fast as you can.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, doesn't really matter.
The boss or the stage. And then when you kill that, you go to the next stage.
But...
yes.
What is the benefit, then, of spending any time in the stage other than to just go straight to the...
So the stage is littered with items that are your upgrades, and you need to kill the monsters in those levels to get the coins to purchase the little upgrades and stuff.
Got it.
So yeah, so the
so it's not like the boss just drops
not at all magic
pants to...
You do get a reward for beating the boss, but it's minimal. Your real power-ups come from exploring the map, and you're spent the real resource you're spending is time.
Got it. And then this is a, I'm assuming, random generated.
Oh, totally procedurally generated. The single player and multiplayer are exactly the same. It's just multiplayer introduces more enemies and a few new mechanics and stuff to make sense. But yeah, it's just a press your luck. How fast do you want to play the game? Do you think we can take the boss? Ah, fuck it. Summon it. Let's see what we can do. And if you die in a level, you're done until your buddies can maybe get to the next level and everyone respawns.
What happens if you all die?
You start over. However, all the stuff you unlocked, like, you do unlock new items that will drop. You start at level 1, no upgrades every single time you play. A game will take anywhere from 15 minutes to 30 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then you, through playing the game, unlock better and better items. So, like, you're pressing into, like, better upgrades. You can go farther the next time. Stuff like that. It's a really good formula. The first Risk of Rain 1 was 2D and extremely popular. And the 3D Risk of Rain 2 is doing really well. It has the overwhelmingly positive reviews on Steam, and I'll report back next week on if it's any good with friends. I would recommend it to Charles, but it is literally nothing but skirting failure and getting one shot. Like,
no.
just a big enemy that you miss will just, like, punch you in the face, and you're like, oh, well, there goes 20 minutes of my time. Probably not your jam.
No.
Yeah, probably not.
No.
As the person that cohabitates with him, I'm telling you right now. Don't ever recommend this
Every game devolves into screaming, hooting, oh fuck, what happened? Ah, fucking shit. Okay, well, that's over. Want to try again?
Nope. Do not. Do not want.
No, it's a multiplayer game. I
mean, that's checkers for me, so I mean.
Full contact chess. So yeah, that's the game I'm excited to play, and I'll report back if it's any good. I think it's a solid purchase of $20, so.
Okay.
What are you looking at me for? I already talked about my games.
Charles, you brought up the loot, like some loot box controversy. Not controversy, maybe. Just some shittery.
Yeah, no, it is. It's just some, like, garbage thing. So, like, I'm still playing Neverwinter, like, every morning. Just
it seems to be fun. It has, like, a lively population of people playing it. Like,
I've got a whole guild that I can hang out and chat with. And
yeah.
We even went and did some end content together a while back, so that was fun.
Yeah.
But the bringing of the Gith?
Gith Yankee.
Well, the Gith as the player race.
Oh, okay.
And the Gith Yankee is the antagonist.
Gotcha.
Because we're going to Stardock.
Yeah.
Gotta get up to a comet, an asteroid somehow.
Yep.
I don't know how the fuck this is all going to work in-game, but they're bringing that out, so they're bringing out...
There's no reason why the teleport spell, when you cast it, you don't specify a direction that's upwards. I mean, I guess.
Right.
So.
That launches in, like, 2 weeks.
Yep.
They announced it, and they were like, yeah, it's coming out in a month. And everybody's like, what the fuck? Okay. Nice. We just got Undermountain.
Yeah, that was really soon.
Yeah. So, one of the other things that they have just put out, they sell keys to loot boxes. They call it a key ring. You can buy bundles of keys, and the largest bundle had been 10, which was like 1,125 zen.
Okay.
Basically, one zen equals 1 cent.
Okay.
Unless you're buying in bulk and getting, like, bonus deals, right?
Right, right. So, a little more than a dollar a key.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the idea being that you'd get themed loot boxes dropping as you play, and then you would use the keys to open them, right?
Right. So the keys are to open the loot boxes. They change up the loot boxes every once in a while in game, just so that you keep piling more loot boxes into your inventory.
Yeah, it seems like an interesting in-game way to have themed content dropping while still having the same key ring mechanic like in the market, but also to like pressure people to buy key rings because you have so many of these things.
Yeah, you've just got like tons of boxes and different types take up different slots. And so they just put out some hype promotion about their new key ring. It's 20 keys for 2,000 zen, so $20.
$20, yeah.
$20, 20 keys, with the bonus that you can get a particular lockbox that is not dropping in-game only by purchasing this keyring.
Right.
So it comes free, so you're not buying the loot box, but, I mean, you're buying that loot box.
I think you mentioned this before. Remind me how that loot box you're getting with the keys are different than, like, the loot boxes you're getting from, like, just playing the content?
It's just the stuff that's in it.
What's it?
Like, the things that can drop, and it's...
Are they, like, super exclusive crazy shit?
No, it's a resurgence. So it's, like, a best of kind of loot box.
Wait, so it's, like, best of to, like, make sure that people like what's in it?
Yeah, so for the most part, it's, like, you'll get a selection pack. So if you happen to get, like, the 0.001% chance of getting the legendary mount, what you get is a little pack that lets you choose a legendary mount from a list.
That's kind of cool. Okay. It's a cool idea. Also, you're now buying loot boxes directly from Neverwinter.
Yeah, pretty much.
Less cool.
I mean, ultimately, all they're doing, I don't think it's that different. All they're doing, they're getting rid of the abstraction, the layer there that was, like, at least tacitly telling... It was at least a security blanket wrapped around the players that the game they're playing is no different than what other premium players are playing. Because everyone's getting the same loot boxes, they're just ignoring theirs. As opposed to someone literally going to a cash shop and getting some new shit.
Right, yeah. Which getting a loot box that might be better stacked, odds-wise.
Which ultimately doesn't fucking matter, but...
It's just one of those, like, looking at it and groaning. And so much of the player base is... getting pissed off about all of this.
And again, the core reason, you know, the Dorkadia podcast, when we bring this up, it's always negative, is that the facts align to show that this model doesn't make anybody any money. With the exception of people with gambling problems and people that don't give a fuck because they have so much money. Like, no company would pursue this model of business if it weren't for the mentally ill, basically. And rich aliens. Like... That's it. And it is an unsustainable... it's unfortunately very sustainable.
Yeah, it seems to be working just fine for you.
Yeah, no, it's a very sustainable, but unethical model that you can't reasonably interact with and feel good. You just can't.
Only other thing I've been playing recently has been... Marty has been real big on getting me back into Destiny 2.
Yeah, you were playing that when I came in.
Yeah, so they just started the Solstice of Heroes thing. It's their annual summer event.
That armor looks dope.
Yeah, and it's... quest-based to get it, like, so you'll get a piece of armor, and then you have to go through steps to upgrade that piece of armor to the next tier.
Okay, sure.
But it starts at fairly high tier. I don't even know what the top is anymore. I think 750 might be the top. It starts at 700.
Sure.
Basically, they've said that this set of armor is going to be viable armor into the next expansion.
Oh, interesting.
So you're actually working on something because they're dropping the next expansion in 2 months.
Gotcha. Well, that's a great reason to get people to play this event.
So, yeah, you'll be ready to go for the expansion if you play this, upgrade your armor, and...
Cool.
But it looks awesome.
And it looks awesome, which is the point.
Really, that's the whole point.
What are the events of the seasonal thing? Well, like, what activities are there?
I don't know, I played, like, one match.
Gotcha. Okay.
Before you guys showed up.
More to come later.
Wow. Yeah, there's... It's the European Air Strike Zone or something like that.
Okay.
Which was, as you might have seen me, like, hopping back and forth across the tops of...
Like, ruined buildings.
Ruined buildings, continually falling through holes in the roof that I didn't see were there.
Yeah.
Cursing a lot as I attempt to find my way out of the fucking building. Mm-hmm. They're doing elemental themed things right now, so.
Oh yeah, that's right. You pick up like enough of these like elemental drops and you get like a super boost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so right now it's solar. So nice. Solar weapons, solar abilities are all doing better than everything
it's
else.
Kind of cool.
Yeah.
The cherry on top that I'm missing is usually when an event like this happens, there's something really fucking moronic that Bungie does that stops you from enjoying the most, like, enticing thing. Like, does upgrading the armor require you to, like, kill 85 enemies with a headshot with solar damage or something?
Right now, all I've done is the first armor piece, which is a helmet.
Okay.
It requires me completing that one zone.
Gotcha.
So, did that.
Nice.
And then I know it wants me to get, like, yeah, 50 precision kills. Essentially headshots, but... Yeah, it depends on the race.
Yeah.
The Vex, their, like, heads are in the middle of their chests. I don't know.
Maximum ouchie kills.
Yeah, yeah. So 50 of those and then 50 Cabal kills, which is...
Okay, that's
just
reasonable.
Go to Mars and blow up some Cabal.
That's reasonable shit.
Are those the Dugs?
No, they're the Space Rhinos.
Okay. What is the character that I keep calling Doug?
Yes, the fallen, most basic minion, Dregs.
The Dregs, yeah. They're a bunch of Dugs.
For some reason I saw it and I just thought it said Doug. And I was very sad.
Get the fuck out of here, Doug.
He was just killing Dugs.
To be fair, Doug's a dick.
I mean, they didn't name him Steve or anything, so... Yeah.
There is actually one character who, in the original Destiny, was given a nickname by basically the entire community. So the next tier up are the Vandals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, can have the sniper rifles and stuff for the Fallen. There was one in the original Destiny who would spawn and would be so fucking tough that entire teams would have to try and go kill this guy. And he didn't show up as being, like, a boss or something. There was just something fucked up about...
His spawn point had the one modifier attached to it that they decommissioned halfway through development, but it still, like, is in there, and his hit points have an extra zero at the end.
Yeah, like, it was crazy, right? So he was known as Randall the Vandal.
Randall the Vandal? We're fucking Randall. The Clerks fan in me fucking loves that. That's great.
That reminds me of something we did at San Diego Comic-Con. The Legion M.
Legion M.
They brought the set pieces from Clerks out to Comic-Con. So you actually had the garage gate down with the real paint, the sheet on it that says we assure you you're open, plus the movie window dressing piece for
The video store,
because the
video store sign,
Galaxy or whatever it's called.
Yeah, like the sign for the video store was over the top of whatever had been there before,
right?
So that you could kind of see underneath it.
That's awesome.
So like, yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was just funny. We're walking, we're like, wait, that's Clerks.
Yes,
that's weird. Like walking around. I mean, it's not too weird because it was Comic Con, but still, that just not something you expect to walk by.
I just listened recently to a deep dive into the Clerks cartoon.
Man, that is a show that I think I watched like an episode and a half of.
It has some wild humor in it.
Yeah. Like, I heard that there was some like high points.
I just enjoyed it. But...
Yeah, no, like it. They only aired two episodes. They aired episode 4, I think, first, out of order.
Of course.
And then the second episode they showed was the second episode. But the whole gag of the second episode was that it was a flashback clip show, and the joke was that it was the second episode and it was a high concept flashback episode going back to the first episode, but they aired them out of order. Anyway,
I think if you get it on DVD, it's got many episodes,
is like the only way you can get it actually. Yeah. Like it's like a $10 DVD on Amazon.
That's funny.
It was never given a chance to succeed, but it has some funny shit.
Well, you know, they're doing a remake,
a Jay and Silent Bob reboot.
Yep.
I am so not looking forward to this in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah. Shit hasn't aged perfectly. I'm not gonna say it hasn't aged well. It's just, I've grown up as a person. And going back to fucking Jay and Silent Bob Strikes Back is hard.
No. It wasn't good then.
Yeah, and they even end that movie with closing the book on Jay and Silent Bob and whatever, the whole universe. Like, he's done, and he's going back to it.
Yeah, somebody handed him a bucket of money. It was like, here's how we pay for your medical care after your heart attack.
Right.
We'll keep you in hockey jerseys for life.
And gigantic baggy shorts. No, the thing that made me think of was they brought up the new Jay and Silent Bob movie on that deep dive. And they actually lamented the fact that because it was so expensive to film in New Jersey, they actually had to recreate the convenience store and movie store, I think in Atlanta or something, to shoot the movie. So I was like, wait a minute. Yeah, they probably just brought their set to San Diego Comic-Con. They rebuilt the convenience store. That is an actual location in Jersey.
Yes.
Yeah, so I was like...
Well, yeah, because quick stops are a thing.
Yeah, I was like, oh, that makes sense. They just carted it across the country. Like, they already had it, and they already had to have it be mobile. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't terribly well, like, set up against the building, which is why we know they didn't construct it there.
Right, right. It was just the set for the movie.
Yeah.
Or the facade, maybe.
Yeah, it was a facade. So you would walk in through the door of the quick stop to go into the Legion M lounge.
Yep. Nice. Also, that podcast was three people, and I just specifically bring this up because we like that those movies. Two slightly older, and by slightly older, I mean our age, folks, mid-30s, almost 40, talking about how they loved all of Kevin Smith's stuff to the point where they were like, super into it, and now they're really embarrassed.
Oh, no. Right?
And they're like, you know, I like, they're super critical of it. Like, they can acknowledge that it's good and fun stuff, but they're like, super like, I don't know about this. You know, like, there's a lot of problematic stuff. And there was a younger guy that was like 8 and lived in Jersey and got to meet Kevin Smith like a couple of times. And he actually asked, because the Clerks cartoon show was the first time this podcast host like saw any of Kevin Smith's stuff. And he got to meet Kevin Smith, and Kevin Smith was like, why are you watching any of my shit? You're 8.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so he grew up with it, and he's actually not apologetic at all. He's like, no, you know, I grew up, and, you know, I know this stuff is problematic, but I think you guys are over-apologizing. Like, I think you might actually be, like, just embarrassed by the fact that you grew up with this shit. I just knew what it was from the beginning. And it was, like, this cool, like, juxtaposition of, like, people compensating for the shit they grew up with and loved unconditionally, and there should be conditions. And then, like, the new person that was just like, oh, it's good. It's funny and totally gross and uncool in some ways, but that's fine.
I think, you know, it's kind of interesting. I have always said that there's a lot of things of Kevin Smith that I loved. Mm-hmm. I still love Clerks. I will defend Clerks to this day. I loved it. And then really liked Mallrats, didn't like it as much as I liked Clerks.
That's correct. I mean, it's a weird movie.
Yeah. I really enjoyed Dogma.
I really like that movie. Really good,
yeah. Yes.
I know a lot of Kevin Smith fans think that, like, that's the worst one. I don't know why. It's fucking amazing.
Really? I thought most people hated Chasing Amy.
Oh, God. No, I really liked Chasing Amy.
Yeah.
Again, like, I also recognize what age I was at the time when I watched that and how impactful it was on my life. But that was also a time where something had to be big and crazy in your life in order for you to be considered interesting.
Yeah.
And boy, did those movies, like, set characters up that way.
Chasing Amy was the best example everyone on that podcast, like, rallied around of, like, yeah, there was a lot of blowback on the internet eventually when people started realizing the surface-level argument of the characters was that lesbians just need a good deep dicking, right?
And yeah.
Yeah, and then you can move on and then start talking about the characters that honestly believe that and how it's shitty. Yes. And that was like the rallying point. It's like, yeah, it's problematic, but it's fine because I think the movie accurately portrays assholes.
Yes.
Whether or not you know that it's actually Kevin Smith working through personal shit on screen from his personal life because he's an asshole at the time.
Yeah.
It's still fine.
Yep. And then Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. It was just awful.
Yeah. No, it was him flying into the sunset, like, lighting a stick of dynamite under his ass and flying into the sunset.
There were just buckets of money.
It was him not caring about making movies. And
I thought I remember hearing a rumor that they would let him do something if he made this movie. Now, again, that was hearsay ages ago. It was, I heard something along the lines of if he promised to make a Jay and Silent Bob movie that he would be greenlit to create.
There was a deal somewhere about him directing a Superman movie that was one of the topics of his Night with Kevin Smith series, which is totally worth watching, by the way. It's the first podcast. The guy fucking pioneered a dude talking into a mic.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there is something like that. There was also a lot of talk in that podcast about how they did the director's commentaries and stuff. And then Jason Mewes is in the back just off his gourd on fucking heroin.
Oh, he was.
And I think Jay and Silent Bob was a lot of getting, a part of that deal was that Jason Mewes needed a job. And he kept clean during the filming.
Damn.
And Kevin Smith was like, oh yeah, buddy, let's do a movie, let's do this. Don't die, please.
Yeah.
Well, and now he's cool.
Yeah.
Against all odds.
Nobody would have won that bet.
No, I do know for a fact. I say that now, and Wikipedia is going to prove me wrong. But, like, he was clean during the filming of that movie, and that was part of the deal with Kevin Smith. Like, to not have his friend die.
Well, I mean, if we could all be so lucky.
Yep.
As to, like, this is what I will make a deal with my friend. Mm-hmm. Don't die.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
How did we get on this topic?
The SDCC.
Yeah.
Had the thing. I don't know. Kevin, I want to revisit a bunch of Kevin Smith movies now that I'm older. Like, I feel like that would be a great idea.
We just do a podcast series about us watching various Kevin Smith movies and deconstructing them.
I really want to watch the... Ooh. Clerks.
It's not a terrible idea. Mm. I've never seen, like, Clerks 2. I understand. Again, problematic content.
Yeah.
I want to go watch Clerks the animated series.
Also that.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, more on this later.
Yeah. That's a great idea, actually.
As we put this together. I don't know how great of an idea that is, but it is an idea.
It's an idea. We didn't have any of those.
A bunch of assholes sit around and critique a bunch of assholes.
It's pretty meta. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. I think it works.
All right. I'm going to wrap this up before we get on to the next topic that we derails into another movie conversation.
Like, we're going
to
do one episode of that, and then it's PAX coverage, PAX coverage, PAX coverage. Back to Kevin Smith movies.
That sounds about right. Yeah. Okay. I am wrapping this up. Thank you for joining us, the Dorkadia Podcast. You can catch us at Dorkadia.com, at Dorkadia, most social medias, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Music, Mixer. We would like a rating. Please give us 5 out of 5 what's.
Snooches? I don't know.
God damn it. For those of you that are under the age of 30 and never watched anything of Kevin Smith, that made zero sense.
Yeah. Snoochie booshies.
All right, no, I'm going to... Bye. Turn it off.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.